Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Bechiras Daf Nun Zayin. We are holding at the Mishnah, which is around 15 lines off the top. So, which animals, which goats, sheep are eligible to be entered into the corral for a Maser Behema? Says the Mishnah, basically all. Hakoil. All aboard. Hakoil Nechnosin Ladirlis Aser. All of them can be corralled into the pen for the purpose of Maser Behema. So they're all eligible candidates. You see, unlike a regular korban, where even a small blemish, small mum can disqualify him from hakrava, Maser Behema applies even to a bal mum. The pasuk says so. Lo yivakir ben tov l'ra. Don't differentiate between good and bad, between unblemished and blemished. So, what guidelines, what rules do we have? Which ones are ineligible? Hakol nechnas l'dilis aser, except chutz, for the following five categories of ineligibles. Chutz min hakalayim, a product of a crossbreed, utreifa, an animal which is deemed treifa due to an internal wound or whatever. V'yoytze doifen, born by cesarean, mechusar zman, too young, below 8 days old, right? So he's not yet roi, not fit for hakrava, so he doesn't belong in the pen at this point. V'hayasem, an orphan. How do we define a yasem? V'ezeo yasem, kol shameisi ima. The mother died, oshenishchata oshechted, v'chak chiyod, and then she gave birth. Rashi words it like this. He says, kol shameisi ima b'sh'as leida. So the mother animal died upon childbirth. It did not survive the experience. But otherwise, if it died afterwards, that's not considered a yasem. And this is learned from a pasuk, tachas ima, he has to relate to the mother. She has to have survived the experience with the offspring. Okay, so we exclude these five categories, kalayim, trefi, tadaifin, uchazizman, and yasem. Rabbi Shua Imer, regarding the yasem, just one point. Afil nishchate ima, even if the mother animal was shechted, but vashalach, the hide, the skin of the mother kaim still around, that can provide as a substitute for the actual mother. The Gemara later would tell us that they would wrap the offspring, the fresh newborn, with this hide, and that would give it, comfort and nurture it until it's able to stand on its own. So that takes place of the mother. Ain's a yasim, therefore he's not called a yasim. He's perfectly okay. Says the Gemara, no halamili. So how do we know that in fact we disqualify these five categories, kalayim, treif, yitzidayif, nuchasman, and yasim? Tanu Rabbanu, we have a pasuk regarding other karbanos. So the pasuk says, shoir oi chesef, an ox, or a chesef. What's the word oi coming to tell us? Shoir oi chesef, prat, to exclude kalayim. Right? So prat like kalayim, an offspring, a crossbreed is disqualified from makrava. And this is regarding other karbanos. We're not talking necessarily, Maser Behema there. Shlomim oilai. Oy is, again, oy, what's that coming to do? Prat l'nidma, to exclude nidma. She explains, she'im oy rochel v'hudayim l'eis, with the offspring, is dissimilar in appearance to the mother. His mother is a sheep, and he looks like a goat. He's possible for karpan. Ki v'leit, what does that teach us? Prat l'yitzidayvin, born naturally as opposed to unnatural. The pasuk continues. The first 7 days, he stayed with his mother, and then, starting from the 8th day, he's eligible for hakrava. Prat, as opposed to mechus hazman, he's premature, too young, below 8 days old. And from tachas imay, we learn prat liyasim, as opposed to a yasim, he doesn't have the imay. Okay, so these are exclusions by standard karbanis. How do we know to apply them to Maser Behema as well? Rabbi Shmuel, Bnoi, Shol Rabbi Yechon Breko Eimer, we have a Gzeru Shava to link the two. Nemar Kan Tachas HaShevet, by Maser Behema it says, have the animals walk out single file, Tachas HaShevet, below the, underneath the the stick, the staff, as he's counting them. So we have tachas over here. V'nem alahala tachas imo, we have the word tachas. Over there, by other karbonis, we connect tachas to tachas. Malalon, so just like by standard karbonis, prat l'chol shem asalol, we include all these types, these five that we mentioned. Actually, we only mentioned four. Treifa is coming up in a minute. Afkan here as well. Regarding Masav Ema Prat, we exclude. Look al Hashem Asalalu, these four exclusions. Okay, so we import the exclusion from Karbanis over to Masav Ema. Now we go the other way. Uma Kan Prat Treifa, just like over here, by Masav Ema. A Treifa animal, which comes in all forms, missing its legs, right, is excluded. How do we know? We'll see in a minute. Afla alon prat l'treifa, likewise. Treifa is also an exclusion regarding regular karbonis. Now, and Rashi points this out. Rashi explains, how do we know that a treifa is not suitable for masa behema? So Rashi says on the third wide line in Rashi, Huma masa prat l'treifa, says Rashi, chsiv bo kol asher yavar. Kol asher yavar tachas hashevet. So yavar mean has the ability to walk through. If it's missing its legs, not eligible, right? Prat l'treifa she'nei veres. The behema shenechtu choraglim na'akru l'malo. His legs was amputated too high up. That is one of the 18 treifas. So from there we learn that all types of treifas are excluded from maser behema. Okay, so bottom line, there are five psulim. Four are imported from karbonis. Kalaim, yaitze doifen, mechusa zman and yasim. And the fifth is actually stated over here and exported to karbonis. Now the Mishnah began with the word hakoil. All aboard. Hakoil nechnosn dilis aser, except for XYZ. Hakoil is inclusive. What's it including? Hakoil is suyamai. Says the Gemara suya, the Tanur Rabban is coming to exclude many other types which typically are possible from regular hakrava, but are okay regarding maser. Tanur Rabban, harive, an animal interacted with a woman, a nearby was interacted by with a man, a muktzah, set aside for idol worship, a nevad he was worshipped, a esnam, gifted to an immoral woman for services, a mechir, switched for a dog, a tumtum, genders are covered up, a dragoness, double gender, kulon nichnasin udilis aser. They all come into the pen for maser. They're eligible, despite being ineligible to be brought as a shlamim or an oila. Why is maser different? We'll get to it in a minute. So according to Tanakam, all these are in. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, he quotes Mishum Rabbi Shimon, he takes issue with two. Tumtum vadurgenus. He says those are out. Ein nechnosen. Who did this aser? We'll get to it in a minute. Why? Now, first, what is the opinion of the first Tanakama here? On the one hand, he excludes those five items in the Mishnah, kalaim, itzadayif, and etc., because we link it up to the halachas, the rules, the standards of regular karbanis. But in terms of this list, Revea, Nirva, all these are okay, despite being not okay by other karbonis. V'tan d'dan, our Tana, who excludes some, but in his word, Hakoil, includes all the other ineligibles. How can we have it both ways? Look, Igomar tachas tachas mikochim, if he's going to link master to carbon through the Xeroshova tachas tachas hani namiloi. So just like he excludes those, these two should be excluded, just like ordinary carbonis. And if he's not going to adopt the link of the Xeroshova to compare it to other, then hani minoli, how do you know to exclude those four categories? Loilam gomer, truthfully, he does compare master to other carbonis. But these are different. Hani rachman rabinu. These were included by the Torah, which allowed them for maser use, chsiv. Because the pasuk, in the discussion regarding blemishes, makes a reference to hashchasa, destruction. Chsiv kim hashchasam bahem mumbam. Lo yirotzu lachem. And the Gemara learns that this term, hashchasa, refers to blemishes of a more severe extent, spiritual blemishes. The Torah of Shmuel, Kol Mokum Shnamar Bayashchosa, Whenever we find the term hashchasa, it's referring to a spiritual deficiency, a serious ruchnius tikkumum. Eina eladvar erva. We're speaking about immorality, avodah zara, and idol worship, which affected this animal somehow. How do we know? What do we see? This term relating to those concepts. We find it connected to dvar erva, way back by the Mabul, where they were engaged in these activities, and there it uses the term hashchasa. Likewise, you find it related to idol worship, avodah zara, pentashchisan, right? Vasisan lacham pesel tmunas kol samim. Tam zocher nekev. So by the Torah, making reference to hashchasa in the conversation about physical blemishes, is basically the Torah is linking them, connecting them. And we hinge it on each other. Kol shamum, v'chol shamum poisel boy. A situation where a physical blemish affects the status of the animal. V'chol shamum poisel boy, such as standard karbonis, which have to be unblemished. Likewise, spiritual deficiencies, spiritual defects, tvar erva, v'dezora, also a poisel boy have a similar effect. As opposed to maser, which is unaffected by physical blemishes as discussed earlier. Right? If mum is not an issue by maaser, likewise those spiritual defects as well. Ain dvar erva, v'dezor poislim boy, nor are dvar erva and v'dezor going to be an issue. Hence, v'hai maaser, our maaser behema, animal hoyev aloy poslim behemum. Since mum is not an issue here, t'chsev lo yivakamet hev l'ravali mirenu. Don't differentiate good, bad, blemished, unblemished, doesn't matter. Likewise, we accept even dvar erva v'dezora, nami, there too, loy pasul, but it doesn't affect the animal. So now we have it all covered. Let's go down the list of acceptable animals. Reveh v'nirva, well, they belong under the category of dvar erva. What about muktzah v'nevet, that belongs under the category of v'dezora? V'esnan, yeah, that's also dvar erva. What about umechir, that's a tricky one, it's just a switch for a dog, that's not erva v'dezora. Well, that's iskash l'esnan in Torah, we find it linked together in the same breath to the esnan. It's mentioned together in the same, so we compare it, and since esnan is not an issue, nor is mechir kelev. What about tumtum adrignus? Why does Tanakam allow those? He says, kasavar sveiku, he holds that these are statuses of uncertainty. We're not sure how to label them. Okay, so true that regarding, karbanis, they need to be, a zachar or an akeva. Only, so you can't use this because maybe they're not really a zachar. Maybe if you need an akeva, it's not an akeva. So you have an issue using it for a regular carbon, which needs to be a zachar or an akeva. Let's say an oil needs to be a zachar, right? You can't know what these are. Right? So when you need to be gender specific, you can't use these. For practical reasons, but by master, there's no gender specificity. It can be zachar, it can be nekeva. It's no issue using a tone to androgynous. Because of our sfeiku, it's not inherently deficient, it's just a suffix. Okay, a suffix works regarding master behema. But Shimon Yehuda, he takes issue with these two items. Why? Because of our lav, the Bach adds the word lav. Lav sfeiku, it's not just a suffix. It's a perpetual state of uncertainty. It's a new status. It's inherently a new status. Tezis points out that it's different than the sheet that we had back in Daf Mem Beis that explained that a tumtum is merely an unknown because his signs are concealed. He holds, no, it's a new gender, so to speak. It's a new status. Las Veiku, and therefore, they are excluded from ordinary carbon use. And once we know that it's a halachic exclusion that applies there, well, we import that to Masa Behem as well through that linkage. The Xerus Shabbat that we had earlier, which allows for a transfer of psalm from carbon to Masa Behem, if it's a halachic exclusion. Lamsveiku, Midrachmana Gabe Kochim. Rather, Torah excludes this fellow. Zachar Vada, Unakeva Vadois, Vloy Tumt Madragnus. It has to be a definite Zachar, a definite Nakeva, not something which is sort of a new gender, a new status. So it's a halachic exemption, halachic exclusion. Maser nami gomer tachas tachas mekotchim. Hence, we import that concept, that disqualification to a maser as well. So bottom line, which animals are accepted in the pen, which are corralled into the deer for Maser Behema, which ones aren't. So far we have two opinions. We have the Mishnah with the Brice, pretty much include everything except 4-5. Kalayim Trefa Yitzadefin Muchas Zman and Yosem. 4 are learned from Karbonis, and Trefa is learned here on site and exported to Karbonis. Otherwise, even Revev and Irva, which are Avodah Zorah / Arayis related issues, are okay by Maser. Tumta Madregnus, that's given to dispute, and Akama says okay, because it's just a Safik. A Safik is okay, because whether you are a Zachor and a Keva, you're good for Maser, which isn't gender specific. Whereas Reb Shimon holds, it's a new entity, excluded from Karbonis, and likewise from Maser Behema. Now comes yet another opinion on this matter. Tan Rabban, Hakol Nechnosen, bring them all into the pen for Maser. Everybody's okay, except Chutz Min HaKalayim VaTreif. So instead of excluding 5, he only excludes 2, Kalayim and Treif. We'll get there in a minute. Whose opinion is this? The Rebbe Lesser. Rebbe Yehuda, Ish Kvar Basoysa, that was his name. Shomar Kuovitz, Mishum Bishur. Omar Makiva, you're missing 3 more. Ani Shamati Emenu. I heard from your source, Bishur, that he actually adds, he expands the list. He adds 3 more to the exclusion list. Anishamati Yemenu Afye Tadoifen Umuchus Zman VeYosem. But Tanakama insisted that these are okay. How? Why? But Tanakama, who only excluded 2, Kalayim and Treifa, Igamar Tachas Tachas Mekachem. Where is he coming from? Is he coming from Karbanos and importing the exclusions from there? Hani Nami Loi, so exclude the other 3 items as well. If he's not going to learn from Karbanos in terms of the rules of the exclusions, then okay, so then why is he excluding at all? I understand why he excludes a treifa. We discussed that earlier, because the pasuk speaks about an animal that can walk. A certain kind of treifa, missing his legs, can't walk. It has to have the ability to walk, as opposed to a treifa who can't. So he's out. Why does he exclude kalayim, a crossbreed? If he's not going to source himself in other Karbanos and learn from there. Lo'ilam gamar, truthfully, he does link Maser to Karbanos. And therefore, he excludes Kalayim from Maser Behema. So once you're comparing and importing from Karbanos, what happened to the other items? Yetzir Doifein, Mechus Hazman, Yosem, why are they okay? Answers the Gemara one by one. Ubi Yetzir Doifein, regarding that one, we turn to Amibay, Savalok Rab Shimon. Because Rab Shimon who says, the Amari says, no, a cesarean is considered halachically a proper birth, in which case there's no reason to exclude him. So the Rav Shimon Damon tells us regarding a woman, even a Yitzadayfin born by cesarean is considered a proper birth. And Rashi explains regarding giving her the status of a Yeledes, regarding the halachis of a Yeledes, Tumah v'Tahara, and likewise regarding qualifying the offspring for carbon by an animal. Vad Mahi would like Rabbi Yechon, as opposed to Rabbi Yechon, who says that even Rabbi Shim would agree to disqualify Yitzadef an animal from Makrova. He disagrees with that. He's okay for there, and therefore he's okay for Maser. Now, next item. What about B'mchus Azman, the newborn below 8 days old? Why is he okay? So, I've looked at Rabbi Shim Bar Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Shim Bar Yehuda, which we had the other day as well. He says that, true, we have to wait until day 8 to bring him as a Karm, but in terms of including him into the Maser Behema process, the count and the designation, you could be makalish him early in the game and wait until the 8th day to be makar him. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Okay, so that's why he's in. Regarding the Yasim, says the Gemara, we're speaking about a unique case. We're speaking that the mother's hide is still around, which could be used to wrap up the offspring and to revitalize him. And this is who's speaking. Let's go back. Who's speaking? Rabbi Shua. Perfect. Bullseye. Rabbi Shua Tamei. Rabbi Shua. L'Tamei is in line with his opinion in our Mishnah, who says a hide can present a substitute for the mother. The Amar Filo Shechad is even if the mother shechted, but the Hashelach came, the Shelach is around. It's a Yosem. It's not called a Yosem. Okay, so at this point we have yet a third opinion in terms of who qualifies for Maser Behema. According to the Tanakhama of this price, the only ones that are out are the Kalayim and the Treifa. Yes, the Daifin is okay. So is Mechus Hazman and the Yasim if the Shalach is around. Heid. Okay, speaking about this enwrapping phenomenon, Heid Rabbi Yishmael ben Sasriel, he had first hand testimony that he testified. He came from Arkas Levena. He says, look, he tells Rabbi, Lefnei Rabbi, Bim Kaimeni, you know, in our place, that's what we did. Rav Shitin Asam Mesa. They would skin the dead mother, they would wrap up the fresh newborn. Rashi explains, if the mother died, the mother animal happened to die during the childbirth, they remove the hide, and they wrap the blood, and that gives him vitality, and that helps him survive the ordeal. The smell and the warmth. And that's what they would do. Amar Rebbe. So Rebbe exclaimed in excitement, oh, Baruch Hashem, now I chap the pshat now a Mishnah. Amar Rebbe Nisgal, it's now been revealed and explained. Tama Shul Mishnah saying the reason behind the Aloha now a Mishnah. Rabbi Shua, who says that if the Shalach is around, it's not a Yosem. Now I understand. I was wondering, what's the relevance between the mother's height and the child? Now I understand. Because it would be applied to the offspring and will act in lieu of the mother. Okay, once he was offering testimonies, he says, we have some other interesting phenomena in our place. And some sound pretty extraordinary. Chazerin here are the lettuces. Lashon chazeres, Rashi says. So our lettuce heads are huge. You know how many layers they have? 600,000. Chazerin shem kaimenu. Yesh lahem. Shishim riboy klafim. They contain 600,000, 60 times 10,000 klafim, layers. The base hemses shaloi, just like very similar to the an animal in its base hemses, which is one of the stomachs, which has these little flaps inside to aid in digestion and breaking up of the food. So all these little flaps. So it's got so many flaps, 600,000. Actually, it's a girsa. That we're missing a couple of words, that he was talking about another phenomenon. First he spoke about the super-sized lettuces, then he added Yitu Shem Kameno, the mosquitoes in our places. Yesh Loi Shishim Ribi Klof Meis Hamsi Shaloi. He has the 600,000 ridges in his base hamsis. That's how big and substantial he is. Okay. Pamachas Novel Erez Echa Shem Kameno. Another point. You know how big our trees are? One time, one of our cedars dropped down, collapsed. Hamachas nafal erez echash mukamein. You know how wide it was? Reminds me of the red trees in California. Va'avru sheish esrei kroines alchudai, and there was room for 16 kroines wagons to travel side by side over its width. Not over its length, over its wide, over its narrow side, right? So along its pointy side, right? Lengthwise, not across widthwise. Alchudai. Once saw a picture of the redwood trees in California. They actually have like a road going through one of the trees. I think it was like two lanes. So they're pretty substantial, pretty sizable trees. Another thing, one time there was this big bird called Bar Yochni, and he dropped the egg that he was carrying, and it was so big that it drowned 60 cities. It broke 300 cedar trees. Perhaps those big cedar trees. That's how big it was, this egg. Some of Farshim learned that the point of telling all this is that Hashem actually left over, before the marble, the sizes, the standard was so much bigger, and people were tall and big, and the whole world was a different dimension. And then the chet, the sinning, just shrunk everything, diminished everything, had a negative impact, and brought everything to miniature size. Hashem left over some remnants of these impressive phenomena. Relics of pre-sin era, perhaps to show us how things could be, how things should be. When the bracha is there, when the blessing is there, when people do the right thing, and you know, to give us a chizuk of our potential. The Maharsha actually has a whole discussion. He says these things there are lessons embedded in all these phenomena. He says, well, for instance, the idea of these 600,000 this lettuce that has all these layers. He says that's connected to Torah. He says lettuce, the Gemara says, has an element of softness, an element of hardness. It starts off soft and ends up hard. He says in Torah, you know, it's difficult in the get-go to get going, right? Kolas cholas kashas, as Rashi says by Matan Torah, right? To get us going, to get us warmed up, it takes a while to get the appetite, but eventually it's sweetest as can be, right? And the Torah encompasses 600,000 elements, because every yid, he says, has his own perspective on the Torah. Torah Shu'al Peh, Hashem gives every yid his own chelik in Torah, v'sen chalkin v'sen resecha. We all have our portion, our approach, our understanding, our own perception, of course, based on, within the parameters of our tradition, our Mesorah, the proper way to approach Torah, right? But within that, we have a lot of wiggle room, different ways to understand, ways to understand and to ask and to answer and to appreciate the words of Torah. The Mechadish Chiddush Torah, and each year, he says, just like we have 600,000 partsuf and 600,000, faces, right? And those two faces alike, the 600,000 neshamas, likewise, in terms of, approaches and mental, tracks. We have 600,000 different perspectives in Torah, and each one, each year has to be strive to achieve his personal understanding, his personal appreciation, his chelik in Torah. Okay, in any case, he dropped the egg. Says the Gemara, Mishadilei. Since one is a Bar Yuchni so careless to drop his eggs, Voksiv, the Pasuk, actually praises his ability to handle with care his eggs. Kanaf Ranonim. Ranonim na losa, is the Pasuk in Iyav. Hashem tells Iyav, look, were you the one who created this these wondrous, powerful wings for this bird called Bar Yuchni, which has such koyach to lift off this huge egg? And na'alosa is comprised of three words: noisei, lifting; oile, ascending; v'neschat, and then descending down gently, softly, to keep it from breaking. So Hashem praises this bird for its agility, its power, and its softness. And here it's dropping its eggs. Amar Rav Ashi, muzar tahavoy. It was a beitza muzara. The bird noticed that this egg could not produce. It was ruined. It was spoiled, and that's why it just discarded of it. You know, like the plane releases extra fuel. It just, and then it landed and demolished the whole area. Says the Mishnah. So we know which animals are eligible. Now, when did they do Maaser Behemah? Was it once a year? Was it Sholesh Gronos Maaser Behemah? The Chachamim instituted three separate Gronos, like you have, the granary, right? It was a gathering. And the Gemara actually later says the reason why the Mishnah chose the word Gurin, the Tevel Kegurin, just like by the grain, it becomes Tevel. It's considered Tevel before the Maaser was removed. Likewise, Midraban, you should not partake in any of these animals, selim or shechtim, before you do Maaser Behemah. Now, technically, Minat Torah, there's no tevel. So, although you're meant to do it, and there's a huge mitzvah to do it, but if one actually chooses to eat the animal before Maaser Behemah was performed, he hasn't really eaten something which is forbidden. Number two, when he does Maaser Behemah, it's meant to be an annual sort of ceremony, meaning it's meant to be a separate Maaser Behemah per year. So you can't mix last season with this season, right? Every year gets its own Maaser Behemah. The Rosh Hashanah Maaser Behemah is once a year, Echad B'Tishrei, whatever we'll see in the Mishnah, several opinions. And I meant to mix and match last season with this season. But with the Rabbanon, within the year itself, they split into three sections, three Gronos, three periods where you meant to stop, not use the animals at that point, do Maaser Behemah, and then proceed and use your animals. The Gemara later will say that it corresponds to the three batches of animals that get born throughout the season, the early, the mid ones, and the late ones. And it also corresponds to Yom Tovim, because the point was to ensure adequate supply of animals for Yom Tovim, for korbanos, for consumption. So they pretty much timed the grunis to coincide with Yom Tovim, because the point was with Rabbanon, once the gurin arrives, you stop. And the erlecha, you know, animal taker, farmer would wait. Would want to do a mitzvah, so he would actually wait. He wouldn't use the animals until he got to the garden, and then he took the maser. So this would ensure, the fact that they established these grunts would ensure that there was adequate supply for karbah, for kabanos, and for consumption. Because until the maser was done, the animals weren't going to be taken, and then once the maser is done, it's Erev Yom Tov, and there you go, you have what to eat for Yom Tov. Shalosh grunts l'maser b'hem, there were three established junctures, three time periods of Goyer of Maser Behema, before it's at Pesach. So, before Pesach, Preis means half of what? We'll see in the Gemara, half of the 30-day preparatory period before Pesach, so basically 15 days to Pesach, was the first occasion. Preis at Tzeres, and likewise, before the Yom Tov of Shavuos, Preis at Chag, Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Pretty straightforward, 15 days to Pesach, Shavuos and Sukkos. Benazi says no. Benazi Omer, he moves it slightly. He pretty much agrees, but he moves one slightly over. Instead of speaking about 15 days to Pesach, let me identify the day. Let me tie it to a day on the calendar. Benazi Omer be'esrim b'tisha b'adar, 29 of Adar. Be'echad b'sivan, instead of 15 days to Pesach, to Shavuos, Aleph Sivan. And instead of saying 15 days to Tishrei, Be'esrim b'tisha b'av, he moves it back to the 29th of Av. So actually, he takes issue with all three things. Reb Lezer, Reb Shimon, I remember he had a third opinion. Be'echad b'Nissan, which is very similar to the previous two opinions, but he gives it a date on the calendar, first day of Nissan. Be'echad b'Sivan, which is similar to the previous Shita. Be'esrim b'tisha b'elul. So this is similar to the Tanakhama, around 15 days to Tishrei, but he pegs it 29 of Elul. Why is he called Chavtes Be'elul? Why did they establish it on the first day of Tishrei, which is exactly 15 days to Sukkos, because it's Yom Tov, Neshu Yom Tov. You can't do Maser Behem on Yom Tov. Rashi explains, because they have to slap on that red paint, which you can't do on Yom Tov. Lefichach ikdemu. That's why they moved it back, Be'esrim b'tisha b'elul, to 29 of Elul. Rabbi Yoimer, he has yet another opinion. Be'echad b'elul, Rosh Hashanah l'maser b'hem. He says, the new year starts echad b'elul. So anything born past that point belongs to the next year. Benazir Yoimer, he's not sure. Do we go with Ramir's opinion that Elul is the start of the new year, or does he go like the previous opinion, Elul is the end of the old year? So that's why he says the Elul guys, the Elul offspring, have to be set aside and have their own master behemoth, because they're not sure which season they belong to. Benazi Aymrim Ho Elulim Mis Asrim Bifnei Atzman. They got their own master. Continues the Mishnah. Kol ha'niladim me'echad b'tishrei ad esrim b'tisha be'elul harei elu mitzdarf. So the Mishnah continues that the Rosh Hashanah is echad b'tishrei. It's the start of a new year regarding Maser Behema. Anything born from that point until a full circle, the last day of Elul, which is a full circle, full year, you can combine them. So let's say two were born Tishrei, two were born Cheshvan, etc. Come together, bring them together, and do one Maser Behema on them all. But Chamisha l'fnei Rosh Hashanah, Chamisha l'achar Rosh Hashanah, five before Rosh Hashanah, five after, two different years, two different seasons, you can't combine them in and mitzdarf. However, Chamisha l'fnei Goyren, Chamisha l'achar Goyren, five before the Goyren, five after the Goyren, those times established by the Chachamim, those don't constitute real seasons. Harei l'mitzdarf, and you can combine them. So if you have enough, come the Goyren, you have a whole minion, fine. But if you're short, wait until the next Goyren. And you can combine the two groups. In Kein Lama Amru, Lama Nebru, Shalash, Goyren, Tamas, Mehmet, so if you can combine all the granis, so what's the point of establishing three granis? The answer is, Chacham set up certain zmanim, certain junctures, where you're meant to stop, take stock, and make your masa behema. But technically, it's all one and the same season. I mean, Atari, you can combine them if you need to. Shachli get Gurin, before the Gurin arrives, Mutalim Kablishchot, you can sell, you can shecht, without hesitation. But Igiyah Gurin, once the Gurin arrives, Midrabban, you meant to stop in your tracks, Lo Yishchot, until you do the Maser Behema, but Vim Shachat, Pater. But if he did Shechita, he's Pater, meaning he hasn't committed an Issa Daraisa, although he didn't really, follow the rules. And we're seeing the Gemara, really, a person who was seeking to do the mitzvah properly, he would actually wait it out until the Gurin arrives, so that he can do a proper mitzvah on all his animals. He wouldn't, sell or shecht before the Gurin comes, but technically he has not committed, there's no Isra to do so. But once the Gurin applies, it's also the Rabbanon, unless you do the Maser. But Minatira, again, Minatira, really the whole year is considered one entity. Okay, so Chacham established three granis. Maish Natlas asked him, what's the point of three? Why the magic number three? Amar Rabba Bar Shila Kaval, corresponding to, parallel to the three sort of batches of animals that are born in that, in that season. The Kaval Char Churfi, the earlier batch, Vafli, the midterm batch, Vikaiti, the ones born later in the year. Hence, three granis that correspond to these three shipments. Maish Nabhani's money, what's unique about these specific days? Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Breder Bchir, Shvar Akoy, turn to the next Amar, Kadei, Shtei Behem Utsuya, Loyal Regalim, to ensure proper supply for the Oyal Regalim. Okay, so they have animals to be makar on the Beis HaMikdash, to consume on the Yom Tov, and Rashi explains that a person would typically wait, right? He would wait until the Goyren. And this way, all the animals were there, ready to go, and once the Goyen arrives, which is right before the Yom Tovim, perfect timing, now we have enough animals to go around. And the Gemara makes a point of saying that really, V'afagav desnat, even though we just learned in the Mishnah, technically, you don't have to leave your animals around. Actually, Gira Goyen, before the Goyen actually kicks in, mutalim kar v'lishchad, you can consume, you can sell, but nevertheless, a person who was an upstanding person, who was seeking to invest in mitzvah and olam haba, the real thing, nichalei, a person is pleased. Tilis avid mitzvah b'mamayne. He's seeking that his possessions, his property, his money should be involved in a mitzvah. So he wants to first do the mitzvah properly. He doesn't want to sell before. He wants to leave it around. Do the masa behema when the time comes. V'hadol is b'malecha, and then he sells, right? Then he'll sell and eat. Okay, so person who's looking to do the optimal, the ideal mitzvah, he would actually leave his animals, wait until the Goyen arrives, do the Masah Behemah, and then sell it. Perfect timing. Just in time for Yom Tov. But my curly Goyen, the question is, why does the Mishnah call it Goyen? What's unique about Goyen, which applies in this case? Goyen is a granary where the grain is sitting, the Tevel Kegoyen, to tell you that it has a similar status as the Goyen, which has Tevel status before the Maser is done, right? Grain cannot be consumed before Maser is separated. That's also Minat Torah. In a similar fashion, the Rabban instituted a similar parallel track regarding the animals, that once this Zman arrives, we give it a status like a Goyen. You have to stop in your tracks, don't eat, don't sell, until you do the Maser Behem. Okay, we'll leave the rest for tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. In the meantime, which animals are invited into the pen? Basically everybody, except for Kalaim Trefi, Tzedef, Mechazman, and Yosain. And according to the Brisa here, we actually allow anything other than Kalaim Betrefa. Yosain was speaking that the Shalach is around, right? Tumtum Adreganus is another point of dispute. Tanakama and Rishimi. We learned about the Shelach of the mother, which was used to enliven the offspring. And we spoke about the process of the timing of Masa Behema. So I'm going to tell you, anything within the year goes together. There are abundant, three granis, which require you to stop and do the Masa Behema at those points, corresponding to the three birthing seasons, which were actually adjacent to the Yom, and were lined up with the Yom Tovim to ensure adequate supply for the Oyel Regel. All the best to you and Atzlocha Rab.